नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सततं कीर्तयन्त मां यतन्तश्च दृढव्रताः नमस्यन्तश्च मां भक्त्या नित्ययुक्ता उपासते। Always chanting my glories, Lord Sri Krishna says, bowing down before me, endeavoring with great determination, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. In this verse, the symptoms of a Mahatma or a great soul are given. The previous verse states, Mahatma nastumam partha daivin prakutimashritaha vajantyananyamanaso gyatma bhutadimavyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So these two verses describe what are the symptoms of a Mahatma and how one can become a Mahatma. Mahatma means a great soul. We find in the Vishnu Sahasranam, one of the names of Lord Vishnu is Mahatma. He is actually a great soul. Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. We are Atma, but we can become great. How? Not exactly that we will become Lord Vishnu, not that we will become equal with him, but the devotee who is a pure devotee of Krishna, he is also glorified as Krishna is glorified. Not that he wants to be glorified, but Krishna recognizes him as great because he is Krishna's devotee. That is the great position. That is our natural position. So here is a description how actually to become great. Greatness doesn't mean to be a great sportsman or a great orator or a great politician or a great businessman. All this greatness is temporary. But the real greatness is to be established in one's eternal position as the servant of Krishna. Now, one unusual point here is that a devotee actually doesn't want to be thought of as great. He becomes great by serving Krishna, by serving the great. Just like even if you find someone, they are the secretary of the king or the prime minister. So he also becomes great by association. Or if you are the henchman of a big criminal, you also become known as a rascal by association. So by association, you become known as a great rascal because you're associated with a great rascal. So if you become associated with Krishna, who is the supreme great, he is the supreme wealthy, aishvaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, he is the supreme powerful, he is the supreme famous, he is the supreme beautiful, he is the supreme knowledgeable, he is the supreme renounced. So if we become associated with Krishna, then we also start to develop the qualities of Krishna. Even you see nowadays it's very popular, even in India, to have beauty contests. Miss India, Miss World, Miss Universe, Miss India, Miss Gujarat, Miss Bombay, Miss Juhu, Miss Andheri parking lot. Every inch there's another. If you can't win one, try another. So they're very interested in beauty. But you can actually become beautiful by serving Krishna. The first book I read of Prabhupada's, I read that devotees of Krishna automatically become beautiful. So I was wondering, how is that possible? Because you're born with a certain kind of body. And either it's tall or short or fat or thin or somewhere in between. So how can you become beautiful? By serving Krishna. But actually that's a fact. Devotees of Krishna, they look very beautiful because the pure beauty of the soul shines through. Just like we see so many pictures of Srila Prabhupada. Now from the external point of view, Prabhupada was an old man. Old men generally don't look beautiful. We don't see in the advertisements they're advertising Coca-Cola with pictures of old people with a stick. Drink Coca-Cola and become like this. But they're advertising, brush your teeth with Colgate and then you'll become young and beautiful. So generally we think young is beautiful and old is ugly, but Prabhupada we see, oh, how beautiful. Because the beauty of the pure spiritual nature is seen. So a devotee develops all the qualities of Krishna, becomes rich, may become materially wealthy, may not be. But a devotee is always rich. It means you can have millions of dollars and be poor if your heart is empty. But if your heart is full of love of Krishna, then you become the richest person. You become the supreme knowledgeable. You may not be a big PhD, but if you know Krishna, then you have the most important knowledge. So you become full of all knowledge. You become full of all qualities. You become a Mahatma by understanding Krishna. Now, what is the main symptom of a devotee is that he's always glorifying Krishna. He's in love with Krishna. Just like you'll find young man, young girl, they may fall in love. So then they're always thinking, of course, that euphoria of falling in love doesn't last very long. But a devotee, he falls in love with Krishna and he goes on falling deeper and deeper. So just like the young man and the young girl are always thinking of their beloved. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful my darling is. And always thinking and always glorifying. So Krishna's devotees also, they are enchanted with the qualities of Krishna. Therefore, kirtan for a devotee, we have rules and regulations in the neophyte stage. There's rule and regulation. You must rise early in the morning, you must perform arti, kirtan, you must chant so many rounds. But for a pure devotee of Krishna, he doesn't need this rule, you must do like this. Automatically, the kirtan flows, just like from the ground, the spring of water automatically flows up. So in the same way, the devotee of Krishna, automatically the glorification of Krishna kirtan flows from his heart up through his mouth. And just like the spring water flows, joins the river and goes towards the sea, so the kirtan of the devotees mixes together and carries them to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the symptom of a devotee. Pure devotee is always chanting the glories of Krishna. And those who are aspiring to be pure devotees of Krishna, they also take part in Krishna kirtan. But there's a difference, you see. Who is a pure devotee of Krishna, he's chanting Hare Krishna. And he's experiencing Krishna. The name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. And anyone in any stage when they chant Hare Krishna, they can experience that. But there's a difference also. Because those who are pure devotees, they are fully wrapped in love of Krishna. And those who are aspiring for pure devotees, their love of Krishna is awakening. But there are different stages. One who is a pure devotee of Krishna, his chanting that is called pure chanting. Those who are aspiring to be pure devotees, they are chanting what is called nama bhash, means it's on the way to becoming pure, but it's not fully pure. Just like this, early in the morning, the sun, just before it rises, the light comes. You can see it becoming light, but the full light hasn't come yet. So in the same way, those who are chanting, who are aspiring to be pure devotees, the Krishna consciousness is awakening, but still fully to come. Now, those who are aspiring to be pure devotees of Krishna, naturally they're thinking, well, how can I improve my chanting? How can I come to the stage of pure chanting of Krishna? How can I have the feeling, like Rupa Goswami is stating, that when I hear these two syllables, Krishna, then I wish for 10,000 tongues and 10,000 pairs of ears so that I can hear more and more and more the names of Krishna. So how can we come to that stage of complete absorption in pure Krishna consciousness? This has been discussed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is known as Krishna Prema Pradaya. He has come to give love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna. There are many incarnations of Krishna. Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurama, so many different incarnations. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is especially known as Krishna Prema Pradaya, because he is giving love of Krishna very freely. Even Krishna himself spoke of love of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, he speaks, Bhaktya Mama Vijanati, I can be known by devotion. But Krishna also puts some conditions. He says, Sarvadhaman Parityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarvapati, Vyu Moksha Ishami Mashucham. You surrender to me, I will deliver you from all reactions. Then you come to me. So that, of course, that condition is there for all devotees. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you start immediately by chanting Hare Krishna. In any condition, you start chanting, Kayate Shuyate Jota Tata Namaloi, Desha Kala Niyam Nahi, Sharva Shiddhi Hoi. He says, even when you're eating, you can chant Hare Krishna. Even when you lie down to go to sleep, you can chant Hare Krishna. You see, there are no conditions. It's like if you have to perform some yajna, you have to select what is the best time astrologically, what is the right place, you have to purify the whole area. There are so many different considerations. If you want to perform deity worship, first of all you have to take a bath, you have to purify yourself by achaman. There are so many different conditions you have to perform. But for chanting the holy names, desh kal niyam nahi, in any condition, if one chants purely, he can attain love of Krishna. That is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, by this chanting process, he is giving love of Krishna, even up to a level that in different incarnations, Ram, Narsingha, they're all Lord Vishnu, and they're all awarding love of themselves. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is given love of Krishna up to a level that was never previously even heard of in this world. What is that standard? The complete self-surrender up to the level of the gopis. The gopis are misunderstood sometimes by people who don't understand the essence. But what is the gopis' love for Krishna? Gopis, they sacrifice everything for Krishna. Even their family pride, and even the, what is, according to religious principles, woman should be fully faithful to her husband, and if not, she is shamed. But they didn't mind even that, because they wanted to serve Krishna. Of course, it's a very deep topic to understand it fully, that the gopis are actually all eternal servants of Krishna, and they have their eternal spiritual relationship with him, as everyone does. And that their so-called husbands were not actually... This is all described in Srimad Bhagavatam with the commentaries. But the point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach the highest love of God by the simplest process of simply chanting his names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we're chanting, we want to develop that love of Krishna. But how to develop? What is the secret? Is there any, sometimes people ask, well, is there any secret? Is there any way we can quickly become advanced in this chanting? One lady was telling me this morning in Sharjah, I want to see Krishna. So that's very nice. We want to see Krishna. But how will we become so much advanced in our chanting that we can see Krishna? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also discussed this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to discuss every night with two devotees, Surup Damada and Ramananda Rai. So one night he was discussing, what is the secret? What is the secret formula? Actually, it's not a secret, but it's what is the clue that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing? Harsha Prabhu kahe, Shuno Shurup Ram Rai, Ki Babe Namalaile Prem Upajai. He said, please listen, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Harsha Prabhu kahe. Smilingly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please listen, Surup Damada Ramananda Rai, in which way we shall chant the names of Krishna so that prema upajai, so that our pure love for Krishna will awaken. What is the formula? How to do it? How do we chant? Do we chant out of this side of the mouth or that side of the mouth? What do we do? What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's formula? Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, amanina manadena. That means not wanting that people will praise me, but always being ready to praise others. And in this way, always chanting the name of Krishna. So this is the formula. It's not a very easy formula. Trinadapi, not easy because we are in the opposite consciousness. In this material world, we are not humble. This means the highest standard of humility. To be more humble than a blade of grass. Can you imagine? A blade of grass means everyone treads on the grass. So we can, if someone is kicking on our head, you have to be more humble than that. Yes, 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 yes. Tararapi sahishnuna, more tolerant than a tree. See, the tree is standing in the heat of the summer, the cold of the winter, during the rainy season. People come and break the twigs, take the fruits. Sometimes they carve something. People are taking shelter under the tree in the heat. And then they don't care, they just cut the tree. The tree is simply tolerance. And then, amanina manadena, our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, not to be anxious for ourselves to be praised, but to be anxious to praise others. But our consciousness is just the opposite. We're always looking for faults in others, how to criticize others. And we're always very anxious. If we hear someone is praising us, oh, we think, oh, it's very nice. I like to hear, quick, make a tape recording. So nice. It's just like nectar. So we act in such a way that we hope that others will praise us. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, everything round the other way. Be anxious to praise others, but don't be anxious to be praised yourself. This is the standard. In this material world, everyone is in viparita buddhi. Our consciousness is turned round the other way. Actually, this is natural for us. In the pure state of Krishna consciousness, then naturally devotee feels, it's called dainya bhava. He feels himself very fallen and lowly. But in this material world, we become puffed up with false pride, ahankar, dambho darpa vimanascha, krodha parisham evacha. Ajnana chabijatasya partha sampadim asurim. These are the demoniac qualities. Dambha, darpa, abhiman, all similar terms. Pride, conceit, arrogance, krodh, anger, parusham means harsh speech. Ajnana, foolishness, ignorance. These are the qualities of demoniac people. So all of us, to some extent, some lesser, some greater, everyone who is born in this material world, because we have rejected our relationship of love with Krishna, we're all infected with this. We've become proud. Especially Kunti Devi has analyzed what are the causes of pride. Generally people become proud because Janmaishvarya Shruti Devi, Shruti Shri Bhir, Krishna is known as Akinchana Gocha. He is understandable by those who have no material aspirations. But in this material world, people tend to become proud if they're born in a so-called high family, Brahmin family, or great nation. We are from America. Janma, Aishwarya, if they're very rich, they become proud, they don't care for others. If they're very learned, they want it advertised, I'm a very learned person. Or if one is very beautiful, beautiful bodily features, they look down on others who have not got good features. So these are generally causes of pride. Someone who's in a bodily consciousness thinking, I'm this body, then he thinks, I am so wonderful because I have these things. But even if a devotee has these, even if a devotee is born in a high family or has money, wealth, learning, intelligence, beauty, he doesn't become proud because he knows that all these are coming from Krishna. Krishna gives and Krishna takes away. Just like Bali Maharaj, he possessed the whole universe. Krishna, in the form of Vamandev, took it away. So Vamandev was later praising Bali Maharaj, that even though you had all this opulence, you didn't become proud. So that's even better. If you have all these opulences, but still you don't become proud, that is very pleasing to Krishna. So Krishna, he likes to see his devotees, that there is one condition Krishna has. You can worship Krishna, but he doesn't like to see his devotees are very proud. Because that is the antithesis of bhakti. Bhakti means to always think Krishna is so great and I'm very small. Devotee always thinks himself as... Now in the modern days they have this psychological studies. But what will you study, Mr. Psychologist? Who is the most advanced devotee, always thinks himself the most fallen? Doesn't seem to make any sense. Actually, he's the most advanced, but he thinks, I am the most fallen. He actually thinks like that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is to compose such a book, if anyone has read, I don't know if any of you have read, but in all the bhakti literature, there is no comparison how he is describing the pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with such beautiful feeling, and describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love for Krishna and all his devotees' love for Krishna and all the devotees' love for each other and for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So such a book could only be composed by the very greatest of devotees. But in that book, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described about what he considers about himself, that jagai madhai hoite muito papishto, purishe kit hoite muito laghishto, je mora naam shune tara punna khoi, je mora naam loi tara papa hoy. This is Bengali language. He says that I am more sinful than jagai and madhai. At that time they were very famous as very sinful people, just like nowadays we have some famous sinful people, Al Capone or something like this, some gangster. So they were great gangsters. They were very sinful people in Navadvip at that time. But actually they were delivered from their sinful life by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Krishnadas Kaviraj says, I am more sinful than them. Now, how is that? How could he think like that? Because he never committed any sin in his whole life. Jagai and Madhai, they were robbers, murderers, drunkards, dacoits of all descriptions. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was a gentle Vaishnava who never did any harm to any living being in his whole life. But he says, Jagai Madhai hoite muita papishto. I am more sinful than Jagai Madhai. How is that? Is he simply saying it as a matter of poetry? He actually feels that. He's thinking, I'm very sinful. Why? Because I don't love Krishna. Purishe kit hoite muito laghishto. He said, I am more low than the worm in stew. And he actually feels like that. You see, the jiva is meant to love Krishna. It's meant to be in the spiritual world, dancing with Krishna. But due to his illusory attempt to enjoy this material world, he takes different forms of life. And someone who is very, very sinful, that means someone who is very much envious of Krishna, they have to take, by their karmic fruit, they have to take the position of a worm in stool. Can you imagine how sinful you must be to have such a position? But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, I am lower than the worm in stool. And he feels, he's not just saying, he feels like that. Jai mora naam shune tara punna koi. He says, if you simply hear my name, then your pious results will be diminished. And if anyone says my name, then you become sinful just by saying it. So he actually feels, the devotee feels himself very fallen and lowly. We say, Dino Krishna Dasa Kahi Nama Shankirtan. There's so many Krishna Dasas. So he's singing a nice song about Krishna, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. And at the end he calls himself Dino Krishna, I'm very fallen. So a devotee, even though he's the most elevated, he thinks himself the most fallen. He actually thinks like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed that mood also. You'll find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, I don't have any love for Krishna. If I had any love for Krishna, then I wouldn't have, how could I live? How could I stay alive? So, then the devotee said, well, we see you all the time, you're crying for Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it must be just a show, just to impress others. If I had any love for Krishna, how could I even stay alive? I'm not seeing Krishna. So this intense feeling of humility, this is the main symptom of a Vaishnava. And pride and arrogance, these are not Vaishnava qualities. In the Puranas, it's stated that if someone is proud and at the same time he thinks he will love Krishna, then he may think, I am a great devotee, I'm loving Krishna. But it's just like there are great big Himalaya mountains in between him and Krishna, which he cannot cross. Krishna doesn't recognize. He doesn't accept. Now, again we may say, well, what a nonsense to speak all these things sitting on a big seat. Where is the humility? Just academic. So, all right, it is academic. But, how can anyone teach anyone Krishna consciousness if you're actually humble? Then you'll always want to be the student of others. And actually, who is actually a Vaishnava, he always thinks like that. That I'm simply the student or the followers of others. Just like Bhaktisthan Sahasrara Thakur used to say, he used to address his disciples as my friends, saviors from evil. And his guru, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, always used to address his disciple, Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur, as Prabhu, my master. So how can one be humble and be a guru? You can't. How can you be a Vaishnava and be a guru? You can't. The Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur said, if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, then he ceases to be a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava should always think himself the servant and the follower of others. But then again, Sahasrara Thakur said that if he doesn't become a guru, then how can the disciplic succession, how can the parampara continue? If he doesn't become a guru, then he doesn't follow his own guru's order, because as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the order, that everyone should be, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered that all the Vaishnavas should all become gurus and preach and teach and deliver others. So out of his humility, a Vaishnava takes the order of his guru. If he doesn't follow the order of his guru, first of all, you should be humble to your own guru. So if you don't follow the order of your guru to deliver others, to preach to others, then where is the humility? So this, again, it seems very strange. On the one side, devotee, he's the most exalted, but he thinks himself the most low. There's so many examples of this. Amara jivan shada apaparata nahika pundara lesh. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. That in my whole life I'm simply attached to sinful activities. And there's not even the slightest trace of any pious activity. He's the greatest devotee. So that's one dichotomy. Apparent contradiction. And another one is that even though a devotee thinks himself the most fallen, still he takes the position of a teacher. Why? On the order of his own guru, he does that. But internally, if you see that Bhaktisthana Sahasrara Thakur says, if a Vaishnava thinks, now I am a guru, then he's not a guru. Internally he has to think, I am the most fallen. If he thinks, I am the greatest, I should sit on a big seat and everyone should worship me. If he thinks like that, he's not a Vaishnava. He may tell his disciples, make a big seat and worship me. He may tell them, not that he needs for himself, but the disciples, they need for them. They need to do that. Because that is Krishna's instruction, that you should worship the Guru. So what is the actual mood of a humility of a Vaishnava? That's also not for show. Sometimes we see people that it's almost a show of humility. But who's actually preaching on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he will speak very strongly. We see Prabhupada is the greatest Vaishnava. He instilled the Krishna consciousness in millions of people all over the world and is still doing so through his books and his disciples and his movement. But Prabhupada is very strong. People are surprised. That why is Prabhupada? He's a sadhu. We don't expect a sadhu to call others nonsense, fool, rascal, animal, so many things. Regular, not occasional. All the time. So you may think, well, that's not very humble. But why is he saying? He's saying to save others. To save others from the fallen life, to bring them to Krishna consciousness. He has no other motive. He doesn't hate anybody. He loves everybody. Out of love, he scolds them. Just like if you see a mother scolding her child, you don't think the mother hates the child. You know the mother is doing it out of love for the child to make him better. In this regard, there's one story Srila Prabhupada told that one young boy, his parents died at a young age, so he's brought up by his aunt. And his aunt indulged him. She let him do whatever he liked. She never told him, don't do this, don't do that. Whatever he liked, he said, she simply let him. So when he grew a little older, he fell in bad company and he became a dacoit and became a murderer because he never knew what was right or wrong. So after some time, he was caught by the police and sentenced to death. Public hanging. So at the execution site, he was asked, what is your last request? What do you want? So he saw his aunt standing there in the crowd crying. He said, bring my aunt up here and let her put her ear close to my mouth because he was tied up. So she came up and she put her ear close to his mouth and she thought, now he's going to whisper something in my ear. He didn't. He bit it off. He said, I'm doing this because I'm here today. It's your fault. You should have taught me when I was young what is right and what is wrong. You never taught me and now I'm being hanged. It's your fault. I'm punishing you. And he got hanged. So, in the same way, who is actually speaking the message of Krishna, he must speak for their benefit, just like Krishna says, Namam duṣkṛtino mūḍha. Krishna says that those who don't surrender to me, they are simply rascals. Either category 1, 2, 3 or 4. They're either namam duṣkṛtino mūḍha, foolish, lowest among mankind. Apparently intelligent but actually foolish because their knowledge is stolen by Maya. Or simply out and out atheists and demons. So Krishna says, why is he saying? Does he hate? Krishna doesn't hate anybody. He is the friend of everybody. Krishna is the best friend of everybody. He is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the best friend, Suhrit. There are different words in Sanskrit for friend. Mitra, Bandhu, Suhrit. Mitra means just friend, acquaintance. Bandhu means close friend. And Suhrit means heart-to-heart friend. So Krishna identifies himself. He is the closest friend of every living being. How friendly is Krishna? That even though we have rejected him, he doesn't reject us. Krishna is in our heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtaha. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarva bhutanam yantrarudhani maya. On the body, different kinds of bodies. We're going from body to body. And each body is a different manifestation of our rejection of and envy of Krishna. Krishna is again and again appealing to us. The example is given in the Upanishads. There are two birds sitting on a tree. One is tasting the fruit and one is simply watching the other. So who is tasting the fruit? That is the conditioned soul. He's tasting some bitter and some sweet fruits. That means, Purusha Sukha Dukhanam Bhoktridvehitu Ruchyate. This happiness and distress of this material world, we are the cause because we have rejected Krishna. And Krishna is simply watching. And from time to time, he's giving relevant instruction. He's always instructing. Krishna personally comes and speaks Bhagavad Gita. He sends his representatives, devotees. In every yuga he comes, yuga avatar, to try and deliver us from the ignorance and envy. But again and again we are rejected. No, 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 not interested. So can you imagine if you have some friend and you're always trying to be friendly with him, but simply he's rejecting you. And sometimes even blaspheming you. I don't believe in God. I don't. What is this? Krishna, immoral. So many things in this. But Krishna doesn't reject us. He may punish just to bring us to our senses. But he doesn't reject. And as soon as we're ready to turn to him, Krishna says, Savadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami mashucha. In other words, millions of lifetimes we're rejecting Krishna. We're against him. We're neglecting him. As soon as, just once, we turn to him and say, now Krishna, please accept me. Krishna immediately accepts. All right. And everything all in the past, all right, forget it. I'll forget it all. So such a magnanimous, broad-hearted. Who could be a better friend than Krishna? We see also, there are so many examples that Putana, she was a very serious Rakshasa. Her whole life's desire was simply to kill, suck the blood of young children. Can you imagine how horrible? Now in the modern age, the mothers themselves are killing their own children in abortion. But generally, we think of mother's love. In this material world, there's what is the strongest love? Mother's love for her child. So we can imagine what a nasty person this Rakshasi Putana was. That her whole mode of life was simply to find out young children. Young child means you want to protect helpless child, and the mother loved so much, but she would simply take away and suck the blood. What could be a more nasty, evil person? So she came to do the same to Krishna also. She came to do the same to Krishna. But what happened? Krishna sucked out her life air while sucking her breast, which was smeared with poison meant for killing Krishna, and killed her. But he gave her the position of his mother in the spiritual world. Why? Because in a previous life, she was born in a demoniac family. And she was the sister of Bali Maharaj. So even in the demoniac families, there may be some affection towards children. You see that even the tigers and lions, which are ferocious animals, they'll kill you, but they love their own children. You see, even Hiranyakashipu, at first, he was very kind to Prahlad. Please come here, sit on my lap. What is the nicest thing you have learned at school? All those nice things about politics and how to defeat your enemies. In his own way, he was loving Prahlad. Of course, when Prahlad told him that the best thing I've learned at school is to love Vishnu, then Hiranyakashipu became angry because he's a demon. But he had some kind of affection. You see, even very demoniac people they may kill big politicians and tyrants, they may kill so many other people, but at home they're very kind to their children. So Balirat Maharaj's sister, Ratnavali. When Vamande first came, beautiful young Brahmin boy, she thought, oh, I would like to have So I'd like to have such a child myself so he could suck my breast. She had motherly feelings towards. Later on, when he took everything away from Bali Maharaj, then she changed. She thought, I want to kill him. So she got the chance to try to fulfill that desire as Putana. She came to kill him. But because at one point she had motherly feelings, even though she didn't know that he is Krishna, but because she had that feeling, then Krishna, by taking away her life, he took away all her offenses. And then what is left? That feeling of motherly love. All right, you can become my mother. So how forgiving is Krishna? What best friend? And even in oceans and oceans of offenses against him, he will remember what is some little good quality and magnify them. So this is Krishna, our best friend. There cannot be any better friend than Krishna. Everyone wants love. But no one can love as much as Krishna. No one can be kinder to us than Krishna. And that love for Krishna, it won't be spoiled by time. Whatever love you have in this material world, it ultimately causes suffering. Someone loves his wife, or the wife loves the husband, and then they die. And they're simply bereaving. They're simply crying. So of course, when Krishna left Vrindavan, then the Vrajavasis, they're also crying. Where has Krishna gone? But that bereavement for separation from Krishna, that is actually the cause of the highest ecstasy. That is even the highest love for Krishna. And Krishna, that statement is there about Krishna. That Vrindavanam parityajana padam ekam gacchati. Krishna never goes outside Vrindavan, even by one step. And you may say, well, what happened? He left for Mathura. But he never left. He appeared to go, but actually Krishna told afterwards that actually it's not possible for him to go. Because he was captured in the heart by the devotees. Maybe you know there was one devotee called Bilba Mangal Thakur. So he lived for 800 years in Vrindavan. So he was blind. He had blinded himself. Because he thought, these eyes are my enemy. Because at one point in his life, he was too much attracted to looking at the beautiful forms of women. So he took out his own eyes. So Krishna used to come every day, and when he was living in Vrindavan, and tease Bilba Mangal Thakur. Because he was blind, so Krishna would come and sit next to him, and then Bilba Mangal Thakur, then he would run away. Krishna would say, I'm going away. He said, you can't run away from me. You can run away from my arms, but you can't run away from my heart. I've captured you here. So in this way, Krishna and the devotees, they enter into a bond of love, which there's no comparison in the material world. In the material world, they talk of love, but what is there? That is called kaam. And love of Krishna, that is called prem. And they may appear to be the same thing. But it's now in Hindi movies, they talk about prem. That's not prem. Prem means love of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called prem pradaya. Means Krishna prem. Not this filmy prem. That's all nonsense. There's no substance. There's no reality in that. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give, nowadays we have so many instruments. By instruments you can measure what is the light rays and what is the specific density of a liquid solution and what is the distance from A to B. You can measure so many things. You can measure what is the distance of the moon by bouncing radio waves. And you can measure so many things. But even if you had an instrument to measure how much Krishna is loving his devotees, you can't measure. It's unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. So his love for his devotees is unlimited. There's only one thing which is greater than Krishna's love for his devotees. His devotees' love for Krishna, by which they conquer him. God is the greatest. There's no one superior to Krishna. That is the very meaning, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is Parameshwar, supreme controller. But he becomes controlled by his devotees out of a feeling of indebtedness. We read about Krishna, he's young boy, Krishna. The gopis, Mother Yashoda, they're clapping their hands and singing, and he's dancing. The little boy, Krishna, he's the supreme controller of all the universes. But because his devotees are thinking, this is our little boy, he's dancing. And even otherwise no one can control Krishna. But the devotees control him by that he agrees to become subordinate. In Gita, Krishna says, Yayata mam prapadyante tangs tataiva bhajamaya. I reciprocate. You love me, I love you. You come, actually even you come one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. I promised in Bhagavad Gita that I will reciprocate with the devotees, or with everybody. But you, he said, you have sacrificed so much for me, you love me so much, I can't repay you. You've caused me to break my promise. So he said, there's nothing I can do to repay you. You just have to be satisfied with your love for me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also saying that he says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Everyone is coming to Krishna. Give me money. Give me fame. Give me a beautiful wife. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want this. I don't want all these things. So what do you want? Someone serving Krishna. You see, if you become a servant, you expect some payment. You see in the newspaper, jobs, classified. This job you will get, I don't know what the wages are here, 5,000 dirhams a month, 2,000 dirhams. Servant, become a housemaid, get 1,000 dirhams a month, plus food. There's some salary. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't want dhanam, I don't want money. I don't want followers, I don't want all these. So what do I want? You have to give me some wages. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not going to serve you for nothing. You have to give some wages. What is those wages? You have to give me love of yourself. Pay me with that. So this is the reciprocation between the devotee and Krishna. And it all begins with chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this love of Krishna, all beginning with chanting. And ending with chanting also. Once someone asked Prabhupada, what does this chanting lead to? Prabhupada said, more chanting. But chanting in the beginning, we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Feeling tired. But as we go on, more and more, we simply want to chant more and more. Because we understand that this name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. So, realization expands, knowledge of Krishna, understand. The whole spiritual world, everything is there, simply in this Maha Mantra. Because Krishna and Krishna's name is not different. How is that? How are we to explain that to the empiricists and rationalists? We're not going to explain it. They're not going to understand it. You can't understand, you can't measure Krishna. You can't say, now I have understood Krishna. I've got a PhD in Indology. I've studied. I know what is Krishna. I'm a Sanskrit pundit. I know everything about Krishna. You can say such foolish things if you like, but no one can fully understand Krishna. You can't put a label, this is Krishna, everything understood. It's like you put some geological compound. What are the properties? Or some hydrogen, gaseous, and what is the weight, and how many atoms? And you can't, to some extent, we can say Krishna is Supreme Personality of God. You can't understand Krishna.
Not possible. How much we can understand him as he is presented in Bhagavad Gita? But what are the limits of love of Krishna? Even he doesn't, even Krishna himself doesn't understand them. Therefore, Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste, to find out what is this love of Krishna. My devotees, they're so anxious to love me. Must be something quite good in this love of Krishna things. Therefore, he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to find out what is that. So there's chanting, beginning stage is chanting. And there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting. So our chanting and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chanting, there's no comparison. But our aim is to enter into that. By that chanting, that will lead to more chanting. Our chanting, we're chanting here, and our aim is to enter into the eternal kirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always in different universes and in the spiritual world chanting the names of Krishna. So the desire of the devotees is to chant now